Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Scott Mills, and I am so excited to welcome a very special guest and a personal friend of mine today who is going to help us move through the depths of our unconscious mind. She has a doctorate in depth psychology, and she has plumbed the inner workings of the dream world to bring folks whole new understandings of themselves and the most important things in their lives. I can say personally that I've had the great privilege of experiencing her work, and it had a profound impact on me. And she's helped people have massive impact in their lives around the world. So it is my great pleasure to welcome Dr. Diane Frost to our call today.
Scott, hello. Hi.
How are you today, Diane? So great to have you here.
Hey, it's so great to be connected with you. Always love talking to you.
Well, as part of our conversation, which, you know, is in this big realm of love and creating more love in our lives, and for some people even bringing love more to the center of their businesses, I invited you on to talk about how we can use the dream world and our unconscious, which is just really running so much of what we do, to kind of help us understand how we can shift using that unconscious to move us forward. But before we jump into that juicy, the stuff that can get us moving, can you tell us a little bit about your own story and how you found this work?
Sure, yes. You know, Scott, really, I think I was born a dreamer and attracted to the whole realm of soul. And so I used to love going to sleep at night. It was, you know, a lot of kids fight their parents when their parents say, time for bed, and they say, no, I want to stay up. But I was like, sure, okay, here we go. Because it was just so cool, you know. It wasn't always delightful. Sometimes I met scary figures there, sometimes delightful ones, but it was always an adventure. And I didn't necessarily know what it all meant then. And I don't necessarily know what it all means now either. We never know completely. But I've learned to interpret the language of the dream world so much over time, and it's just always intrigued me. So it's been my lifelong passion.
I love it. It's like you're a little wee shaman diving into the dream world. It's because this work is not new. I think a lot of folks feel like with Jung, you know, in his amazing depth psychology, we just got introduced to dreams, but actually there have been dream walkers for thousands of years.
That's right. You know, and depth psychology is really just in the tradition of the shamanic work, and so it's really all the same tradition. It just took on a more scientific face with Jung, with Carl Jung and Freud.
And it's beautiful work. I love the conversation personally when it gets to bring in that science as well and that structure, because some of what you've done is really create some easier ways to see what's going on internally. I think a lot of the old ways were really led by just incredibly gifted shamans and dream keepers who had for, you know, often for generations that had been passed down through families and kind of secret wisdom among them. And you've actually come and figured out some of what we can do to affect our dream world and affect our lives through it.
Actually, you know, in my dissertation, that's one of the basic things I was putting forward, is that this is for everybody. It is for the people. It's not a big secret that needs to stay, you know, with only certain shamans and certain mystery schools, that everybody can use this. And that is my passion, is bringing it to the people, bringing it to use in our lives.
Well, and we all have a dream world. Like, we can't help it.
That's right.
That seems like it would make a ton of sense. I want to start today talking about some of the things that you see that are getting in the way of people really stepping into using these tools and connecting to love. So can you tell us a little bit of what you've seen in your work and that are just the obstacles for folks?
Sure. You know, I think the number one thing is that people have been trained through our Western culture to rely really, really heavily on the conscious mind, on analysis, on linear, rational thought, and that's beautiful, it's useful, it's great. And yet that's only part of the story. And people have not typically been taught how to tap into, you know, 90% of what makes our lives move and work is really based on the unconscious mind. And so the first drawback I really see is that people haven't been exposed to and they don't know how to get in there and work with what's beneath the surface.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing to me. I feel like it's a bit like saying we'll understand people's faces by just taking a look at their noses. So, you know, look at this tiny little part of you. Because, you know, most of us think that the unconscious is running, what, like 90% of what's going on for us?
Right.
The conscious mind has such a tiny little, you know, it can't focus on that much. Whereas the unconscious is just running, doing all kinds of stuff in the background for us. So it's like, we'll just take this tiny little part, and because that's the part we can see and understand, we'll identify with that. It seems like a kind of crazy way to work.
Right. And it's very surface, really, you know, and it's beautiful. It's great to be on the surface. We all need that. We need to keep track of what's happening in a very, you know, tangible, linear way. And yet we need to be able to dive deep also, because that's where the goodies are. That's where all the guidance and the gold mine of wisdom is. And it can totally change our lives if we know how to get there. And,
yeah, and I think with your work, we're going to actually use, and we'll even do a little of this on the call, I think, the conscious mind to actually be in, work with the unconscious.
Because
it is
right.
It's a great way for us to actually tap into the unconscious. We don't have other access.
It's perfect. That's exactly right. It's like a dance. It's being open to and being able to really gather and listen deeply and know what it is that's being given to us from those deep levels of wisdom, and then to take that forward and to do something, to make a conscious choice, a conscious action based on the wisdom that we've been so receptive to. So it's a nice balance, a dance between the receptive and the directed, you know?
Beautiful, beautiful. And so, and another one of the, so I want to jump to the other thing we were talking about earlier. You had told me in an earlier conversation that one of the things you see as a big obstacle for folks is that they get really passive about love. And I thought that was fascinating. I wanted to invite you to just say a few more words about that and how you find that showing up.
Well, a lot of times people just believe that love will happen to you, that the right person will come, and then everything will be groovy, you know? And they don't realize is that the internal world is what sets up everything so that it happens on the in the external world. And so when we can really go there, you know, in this case through dream work, then we can work with the figures that are there and the different issues that come forward, the different energies and dynamics within, and be ready and be available and really be magnets for love in the outside world to reflect what's happening on the inside. But you have to start from the inside out.
One of my favorite terms for this concept is setting your unconscious GPS.
There you go. I love it.
Yeah. And I think, you know, like when you're talking about love, how many, you know, if you happen to be in like a Starbucks, but you didn't have any kind of that unconscious GPS set for paying attention to, you know, people who might be good partners, you could miss amazing people right in your path. And other people I talk to say like, oh, I met my, two of my friends, they met at a grocery store, like, and he offered to carry her groceries. It's like, well, if that hadn't been set, it probably would have never occurred.
Might never have engaged in conversation, might never have just felt the vibes, you know, felt the energy and turned your head to look and make eye contact, you know, you just wouldn't have been in the right place for it. So, yeah, I love that. Set your GPS, your unconscious GPS.
Well, and I just want to point out to folks, because, you know, for my work, I work with so many different people and folks who are not just looking for love in their lives, but also setting themselves up for new opportunities in their businesses, and sometimes in like looking for everything from homes to just opportunities in general, that this is not something that just works with business or with love. But if you set that unconscious GPS, it actually works throughout your life. I know that when we had our session together, there were two pieces that I focused on and have been doing the dream exercise that you gave me, and it's been just beautiful to ask a question about business, and in some incredibly powerful ways the answers have shown up, and also about relationship, and again, really surprising, beautiful things have shown up that honestly I was shocked by. I was just, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Woohoo. Yeah, and that's how I work with people in business and relationships, and so there's a lot of ways you can apply this good, juicy wisdom.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of like Sark says, how we do anything is how we do everything. It's very hard to separate out the parts of ourselves, like a little Trivial Pursuit pie game piece. Oh, this is the love part, this is the business part. So I'm always excited that when people's work like yours actually transcends those boundaries and helps people get even more what they're looking for in their lives. It's really, really cool to watch.
Yes.
Well, so our call is relatively short, so I want to make sure that we dive in for folks and talk about some of the ways that people can actually, like if they get off this call, some things that they can do to start moving themselves forward.
Okay, yeah, sounds good. So, you know, one thing, Scott, that I do when I work with people is I teach them how to use the power of dreams to open themselves up to even greater love. And, you know, like I said before, that one of the blocks to people really finding the love that they so richly deserve is that they don't know how to go about getting to those deeper levels. And so through dream work, I can teach people how to actively engage their dream. And thereby they can nourish really vibrant and amazing love in their lives. And so one great way to nourish vibrant love during dream tending, and I don't know if I have mentioned during this interview that dream tending is my favorite way of working with dreams. I have a lot of ways I work with dreams with people, but one of my favorites is dream tending. And in dream tending, we engage with dream images that carry energies of disowned parts of ourselves. Sometimes that's one of the things we do in dream tending. And when we tap into those neglected energies, these disowned parts of ourselves, amazing vitality opens up. Because if we've been pushing them away, this is really our psychic energy. It's really our wholeness. And since we've cut it off and pushed it away and, you know, kind of dismissed it and been afraid of it and didn't welcome it and embrace it, it's energy that we're not able to use. But when we engage with it through dream tending, we then have access to it, and a whole bunch opens up in our psyches. And then, like we said before, what we have going on the inside is also reflected on the outside. Does that make sense?
Yeah, let's give people a little bit of an example. So let me see if I get it. When I think about disowned parts of ourselves, I often think about either emotions. Like I've worked with a lot of folks who maybe disown their anger. Because it did, for whatever reason, when they were little, it wasn't okay to express it.
Right.
You know, often I worked with someone this morning who was not owning her desire. And I think a lot of other folks have that one. You know, it's not okay to want things. So, you know, and I love the work you do because I think it just moves folks who can start to see that and go, oh, wow, I'm not giving myself permission to have my desire. I'm not giving myself permission of anger. And we all have all of those things. So somewhere we have to put it. So we kind of disown it or put it like in a back of an internal closet or under the bed where we pretend it doesn't exist. Is that a good way to explain that to folks?
Quite so. And you know, in dreams, everything is like a story or a drama. So this energy of, let's say, the just really primal, courageous, going for what it wants kind of energy might show up in a lion that's in the dream. And, you know, maybe the desire part of you shows up in a real desiring sexual dream, you know, and it comes forward and you haven't necessarily been giving it enough, giving it its due in your waking life, but here it is. It's telling you, hey, this is what's really at your core and what wants to be nourished. And so we engage with the dream images. We actually go in kind of like a shamanic entry, and we interact with these figures. And I do it, you know, in a way that you can really only experience. And this energetically makes some shifts in who you are and how you go about living your life, and then what's, of course, possible to you because of that.
So let's make this really clear for folks, too, because it almost sounds like, and especially because we're talking about shamans and sort of mystical stuff, that you're sort of entering people's dreams. And my experience of you has been that this is largely through conversation. Is that
fair? Is through conversation. However, our imaginations are so potent, Scott. And, you know, when I'm sitting, I definitely do this by Skype and on the phone.
Uh-huh.
And yet I also in person work with people, and the whole field of the dream opens up in the space that is being shared by the dreamer and the dream tender. And it really comes alive. So there's a virtual space created through the power of imagination and words, and we imaginally enter into that space, and then we're speaking about it so that we're both seeing and experiencing and feeling what's happening in that space.
Okay, great. Well, I want to move this into something that, because we're kind of in a processing mode right now, and I want to make sure we give folks something they can really wrap their hands around. So I think, am I right? I might be wrong about this, but I think you have a description of a seeding process that people can do that would be one of the things that you often give clients as homework.
Yeah, you know, and one good thing about seeding, like you plant a seed in a garden and then you tend it and nourish it, one good thing about seeding is that it's kind of a great combination of the active and the passive. So it's the conscious intention, the seeding of this is something that I want to know about specifically, and then you go to sleep and you are receptive and you allow the dream to come and sweep over you and give you its wisdom. And then you bring back the wisdom the next morning and you're able to work with it again consciously. So seeding works like this.
Mm-hmm.
Before you go to sleep at night, you say aloud, you actually say it, declare it to the dream world. You say, you know, dream world, I'm really curious about blank issue, whatever it is, you know, and I'm wondering if you could shed some light on this. You know, I'll be listening. I care. I want to hear what you have to say. And say that aloud in your own words, however you want to phrase it, three times. Make it really clear. Dream world, I'm listening. I'm open to your wisdom. Please share something with me. And even take one more step and declare it even more strongly by writing a note to Psyche and saying it in writing and then tucking the note under your pillow. So there it is. While you're sleeping at night, the note's declaring the seed, saying, please bring me wisdom on this topic. And then have your dream, have your sleep, let it go. Don't think about it once you put the note under your pillow. And when you start to wake up in the morning, don't wake up. So instead of immediately going into got to do the to-do list mode or, you know, jump up and take my shower, whatever it is, just lie there and linger and kind of be in that space where you're mostly asleep, but one eye is starting to wake up, and gather up the threads of whatever it is that you're dreaming about, and slowly and gently and easily start to wake up and bring forward the dream with you, and then write it down or record it. Just record it on your iPhone or, you know, whatever, if you don't want to write that early. And you can later deal with it and really reflect on the significance, or, you know, work with somebody who's really good with dreams to help you to interpret what it is that the dream world is telling you in response to the question that you seeded. But so often, you know, psyche is so good at giving really clear dreams. At least to me, they're really clear because dreams just speak in metaphor. And so it's almost like interpreting a poem. And they will give you answers. They just, they need to know that you care. What do you want to know about?
Beautiful. Well, can you, because I think a lot of people are probably wondering, this is a great process, and I think folks might be wondering, well, what does this actually look like for someone in their lives? Can you tell us example of somebody you've worked with that, and what's happened?
Sure. Okay. Well, I'm thinking right now of a woman who was really conflicted about a romantic relationship that she was in. And she, you know, was spinning her wheels, trying to figure it out, just didn't know where to go with it, wasn't sure what the right choice was. And when she spoke with me about this, I suggested that she seed a dream to help her gain some more perspective on it. And that's what she did. And she got a really clear dream that showed her what she was feeling, what she was intuiting, what she knew on other levels that she hadn't even considered with her conscious mind. It showed her the full picture when she awoke with this dream, and then she knew exactly what she wanted to do, and she went forward and ended up having amazing, great love in her life, you know. And it all started with that dream being the point when she knew where to go.
Mm, beautiful. It's amazing how much the conscious mind can get focused on a question or be focused on work or something else and miss so much, but our unconscious is taking in information and all day long, all night long.
That's
just continually absorbing.
Yeah, that exactly. You know, I have the image of like 360 degrees is what we know, but what we're seeing with our conscious mind is, you know, just one little tiny slice of the pie.
Absolutely. Well, so one of the things I asked folks to do who come on these calls with me is to give something away, just to give back a gift, because my intention in these calls is to spread as much love as I can and get as much of this powerful work like what you're doing out in the world. So tell us a little bit about what you are inviting people into.
All right, yeah. I want to spread love too, just like you, into the world. So what I would like to offer listeners is an opportunity just to have a dialogue with me, to have a complimentary strategy session, to apply for one. And we can, I'll guide them then through my proven system to having more love in their lives. And, you know, all it will take really is about 45 minutes to an hour, and I'll show them what they've been unconsciously blocking so that the flow of extraordinary love has been blocked and how they've been doing that. And then we'll discover techniques to tap into their inner wisdom and move forward on living a really beautiful, love-filled life.
Wow, that sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So if folks want to tell us where they go to sign up for that.
Okay. Go to drdianefrost.com/lovegift. That's drdianefrost.com/lovegift.
Awesome. And I'll just repeat this for folks. Just make sure that you notice Diane's name has two N's in it when you go to spell that. And I would really encourage people to take you up on your invitation, because that's a pretty extraordinary gift that you're giving folks, that much of your time, and to help them really kind of step through the system that you've helped other folks find love with, stepping into just a really cool system for creating more love in their lives and really attracting some amazing people.
Hey, it's my absolute delight to do this. This is what I love and what I know is it's really here for all of us to use. As you said earlier, you know, it's our birthright. And so it's my pleasure.
Thank you. Well, the last thing I like to do with folks before I end these calls is I like to invite, if there's one thing that you would leave listeners with, one kind of gem or nugget or thing that just encapsulates all of who you are around love, what would that be?
That encapsulates who we are around love?
About love, yeah.
Oh, my God. What I think
I know
about
it's a
love.
Big question.
You know, I don't even think about love. Love is really the source of everything. Love is the source of life, of creation, of everything. And so being able to find that wholeness within ourselves through really coming to that deep place of embracing ourselves fully, you know, is what we need in order to have love in every aspect of our lives, you know, in relationships, in our business, and everywhere. So love is all, is what I would say.
Oh, what a beautiful way to put that. Thank you. Well,
mm-hmm.
It's been just my extreme pleasure, as always, to be in conversation with you and to yet again learn more from you and different ways to think about my own life, and I know the lives of the people who are on this call today. I really want to encourage folks to go to drdianefrost.com/lovegift. And I also think if you're on our website, you're going to see it listed below. You can just click the link. But please go and do that, because it's just an extraordinary invitation that she's making for you. And thank you again, Diane. This has just been a pleasure to have you here.
It has been a pleasure, Scott. I look forward to our next conversation.
Okay. Bye for now.
Bye for now.